Welcome to Bikerum's weekly podcast. This is James Serene, Bikerum CEO. I am delighted to be joined from Israel by Tal Shalev from Walla News, one of the best Israeli political commentators who's been covering all the elections this year. Welcome, Tal.
Hi, happy to be here.
Welcome to the podcast again. I wanted to get a sense from you, first of all, where you think things are. We've had news of Benny Gantz, Bibi Netanyahu meeting with President Reuven Rivlin. We've had news of the teams meeting to discuss, but there's still very big gaps. I mean, where do you think we are right now?
So we're approaching, I would say, what is supposed to be a definitive evening this evening, tonight, at the president's residence. Basically, you're right, in the past 48 hours, Netanyahu and Gantz have been holding or opening some channel of negotiations, but it doesn't seem like the opening places they are starting from are very, there's much promise in it, I would say. Both sides have conflicting positions at the moment, and there's a growing assumption that both of them are just trying to, you know, kill time. And I think that Rivlin, who the president, who basically initiated this whole channel by calling for a unity government and by urging both leaders to sit down together and find a way to form a unity government, I think that Rivlin doesn't want to be played a fool. So it's true that there have been two meetings, one meeting between Netanyahu and Gantz and one meeting between their teams. But at least from what we're hearing from these meetings, there are two big divides, a huge divide, I would say, which prevent any progress at this moment. The first, and these have to do with who will be, even if these two people decide to form a unity government, the first question is who will be the prime minister and who will be the prime minister first, assuming that there will be some kind of rotation agreement splitting the term between the two of them. And the second question is who will be part of this government and what does it include? While the Blue and White Party campaigned and promised to form a liberal government, obliged and committed to several legislation bills in issues of date, religion and state, Netanyahu has come to this negotiation not only with the Likud party, but with the right-wing ultra-Orthodox bloc, including all of his natural partners. And this rules out any way that Blue and White can, you know, implement what they promised to their voters. And since, so these are the two questions. And it seems like Rivlin is going to draw a conclusion that a unity government is not underway, or at least not right now. And then he will move on to the next step, and that will be actually giving one of them, Netanyahu or Gantz, the chance or the ticket, the mandate to try and form a coalition. And then we start a deadline of a timetable of 28 days with an option of a 14-day extension, in which probably Netanyahu will be trying to form a government. And that's where we are now.
So, I mean, in my understanding that if they're talking about a rotation agreement, Bibi Netanyahu has to go first, because if he's indicted and he's only a minister and not the prime minister, he has to resign. So he has to be the first prime minister. And that's one of the stumbling blocks, isn't it?
Well, I think that would be the main stumbling block. At this point, that is the Likud's position. The Likud is saying there's no way that Netanyahu will not be first. And then Benny Gantz is also presenting that as his number one condition, that he will be first. There could be a way, perhaps, to, you know, get around that block, but that would necessarily entail Benny Gantz's party breaking up. We should remember that Benny Gantz has Yair Lapid. Yair Lapid will not join a government in which Netanyahu is the prime minister. There will not be a government sworn in, including Netanyahu as prime minister and Yair Lapid as minister. So that immediately means that if Benny Gantz is considering joining a government in which Netanyahu is prime minister first in the rotation agreement, he will be coming without Yair Lapid at least, and perhaps also without Moshe Yaalon.
And that, I mean, that's very damaging because, I mean, he's got, you know, a million plus Israelis to vote for him, Benny Gantz. He's built this whole movement. The whole point was, you know, liberal secular values, toppling Bibi Netanyahu. And then he has kind of the force of argument is bolstered by, you know, all those voters voting for him. And if all of a sudden this movement disintegrates, then surely he loses a huge amount of political power and his bargaining position in the future.
Well, basically, I would say that if Benny Gantz is to join Netanyahu's government and sit under Netanyahu, he will be committing political suicide and he yeah. will be no longer relevant as a candidate for a prime minister in Israel. That is why I do not believe he will do it, because there's basically no reason. We should say that there's the timetable here and the time is pressing, but it's pressing more for Netanyahu than it is to Benny Gantz. If there are two actors here, but one of them is under time pressure because of his legal timetable. So Netanyahu is much more stressed than Benny Gantz, and Benny Gantz can play it much more cool. So I think that Benny Gantz's cards in many manners are much better. So I don't see him giving up on that demand.
Yeah. So let's talk about that pressure and remind listeners that, you know, we have a deadline, we think, by next week where the president will ask someone to try and form a government. But coincidentally, on that same day, Benjamin Netanyahu's lawyers will be challenging the attorney general's evidence in the three corruption cases against him, where the attorney general has already said he's minded to indict him for bribery, fraud and breach of trust. And he has a pre-trial hearing next Wednesday where Netanyahu's lawyers will challenge that evidence. I mean, how do you see that playing into not just, you know, the pressure on Bibi Netanyahu, which, as you said, is already going to be immense, and this is, you know, deeply personal to him and his own situation. But how do you think that's going to play into the coalition negotiators, also the wider public? What are they going to see and hear about these cases again? Because they've heard a lot, and I think, you know, they might have already priced that knowledge into their assessments. But is this going to take us into a lot more detail, a lot more of the sense that Netanyahu has done something wrong?
It's not about the details. It's about the timetable. The minute that the hearing starts, that means that the clock is ticking towards the final indictment.
Right.
Meaning that if Netanyahu is not prime minister or does not succeed to form a government by the time he's indicted, he will start to be in political trouble. And there's I don't know to predict how that will play out, but we should look at the larger picture here. And the bigger picture here is A, that Netanyahu did not win for the second time in a row. First, he failed to form a government in April, and now he did not succeed to achieve the goal of 61 seats, which he put for himself and for his bloc and for his supporters. And the other thing is that he is not in control of the legal timetable anymore, and he'll find it very difficult to manipulate it with it now. And when it starts to be clear that perhaps the timetable will bring us to another election very, very soon. So, for instance, let's say Netanyahu does form a government. He will have to form a government with someone from the other side, meaning that someone will leave his government after he's indicted. Meaning that what are we going for a government of a few months? So at some point after the hearing, and when the timetable and the clock starts to tick much faster towards an indictment, that could create an effect in the system that people, especially inside the Likud, start to understand that they are connecting themselves with someone who is going to be over soon anyway. Yeah. So I think that's the psychological effect of it. And of course, it's supposed to deter, I think, Netanyahu in a way, even though Netanyahu is the one who's been, you know, waving the flag of the option of another round of elections. The fact that if we go to another round of elections, Netanyahu will probably be already after an indictment. Does not give him very good prospects for another campaign. I think there's, if we look at the trend between April and September, then Netanyahu lost power, he lost support. And if that's the trend, he will come back even weaker from another election. So if he tries to drag the whole system into another election just because of his legal troubles, the assumption is that something could come up inside the Likud, and this could spur a revolt, a spark a revolt in the Likud.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, let's just focus on finally the two leaders. I mean, but let's start with Netanyahu. I mean, it, you know, you mentioned that he's now, you know, failed to get that 61 seat majority block from a second election. It did seem from the initial analysis of the results and from what worked and didn't work in the campaign that essentially that the magic was starting to not work, that he basically thought he could run the same campaign as he did in April, and it just didn't work. Either people were bored or they were disillusioned, or that, you know, and if you look at the details, that Likud lost voters, and if you look at, you know, their union with Kulanu and maybe some of their Zahut voters, Likud should have done much better, and so the defeat is sort of compounded. So how do you see Netanyahu behaving now? Like, is there some contrition there? Do you see his sort of power waning and the magic sort of, you know, really starting to not work? Or do you think he's just still the same and he's kind of carrying on as if nothing has happened? How do you see him?
I kind of think it's like a tennis player, a top tennis player, like Federer or Nadal, right. And you're watching him in a match. And he's losing, and he's losing to some young star who came up just now, and he's lost two rounds, but he still has the third round. And sometimes Nadal and Federer can come back in the third round and create and regain control of the game and the dynamics and the psychology of it. So that's what Netanyahu has been trying to do since the election results are out. He's been trying basically he's doing whatever he can. Yes. He's portraying himself as the winner or as the stronger opponent by, you know, creating this bloc with the ultra-Orthodox parties and coming to the table with 55 and not with only 32 seats. And he's very good. Netanyahu is a very good, and I think the best thing he is at marketing. So while I do think that he understands, because everyone around understands that he's in a bad situation, he succeeded to market it as not such a bad situation. But I don't know how long that will be able to last. I also believe that, you know, Israel has been in the past decade somewhere between a spell or a blessing, or, you know, it's been living in an era in which Netanyahu is always a winner. And to start to come to terms with the fact that he's not, it takes time. It's a shock. And so I think he... And he also has a very inexperienced opponent, inexperienced opponent. So I wouldn't say that the game is over. And I think that he's doing whatever he can to keep the game alive. I'm just not sure if he can do it. Since it's Netanyahu and it's King Bibi, then I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the day he finds some kind of trick. Yeah. But to be honest, I don't know. When I look at all of the options, I don't see where he finds a way out of this mess.
Yeah, interesting. And what about Benny Gantz? I mean, you know, I spoke to a lot of people during the campaign and I asked the question, you know, has he learned? Has he got better? Has he become more polished? And the answer was always, well, not really, but he's sort of saying a bit less. And they saw a little bit more discipline among blue and white. But how do you see him now? I mean, you mentioned, you know, he's kind of in the better position. He's the one that is not under pressure. You know, personally, he can just wait this one out. You know, yes, he wants his career to progress, but, you know, the pressure is really not on him. Do you see him growing into that possible prime minister in waiting role, or is he just exactly the same as he was before?
I don't think he's growing into the prime minister role yet, because it's really not clear that he's going to be prime minister. I mean, even if he was to get the ticket from the president, he wouldn't be able to form a government, not right now. So I think that what Benny Gantz is doing is also the only thing that he should be doing right now, is just, you know, taking a very deep breath and perhaps meditating Right. And if there's something that Benny Gantz is good at, is at being calm. You know, yes. That's his nickname. They call him Benny Huta, which means very, very calm. So right. I think that he's projecting some kind of calmness. I would say perhaps even over calmness, because there are supporters, some of his supporters and people in his base are very mad at him for even holding any kind of contact with Netanyahu to begin with. But I think he's he's continuing the same Benny Gantz way of kind of being very sensible. He's being very sensible. He's thinking things through. He's not, you know, there's a very deep contrast between Netanyahu, who's always, it's very clear that you see when he's stressed out and he's panicking, and Benny Gantz is always kind of, you know, tranquilo. He's very, very calm. So I'm not sure how that's helping his leadership image, but I think that that's the only way he can get through what we're going through now. Now, regarding the Blue and White Party, it's definitely not an easy constellation to handle when you have Yair Lapid on one side and Yalon on another side, and you want to do what's good for the country. And there's a lot of pressure on Benny Gantz also to enter the government. We didn't even mention also that the whole party is kind of traumatized, I would say, by the joint list decision to recommend Gantz at the president. This was not something, I mean, the Blue and White Party did want it, but it did not help them in many ways, because it kind of proved the Likud campaign messages that kind of tried to show that there's an alliance between Benny Gantz and the Arab parties. That's a whole different topic of discussion, but I should say that he's not in a tough situation, but I think he is in a tough situation, and I think he's handling it very, very calmly, perhaps a bit too calm. But I also think that perhaps that's the way to go in such a limbo situation, not to become hysterical and kind of take a breath could be probably the healthiest way to get through this.
Do you think that, in contrast to, you know, Netanyahu's style and also the way he was in the last day of the campaign, it was really hyperactive and there was a real sense of panic? And, you know, do you think that Benny Gantz, in contrast to that, and like you said, he's tranquilo, like he's, you know, Mr. Calm, do you think that's going to start to grow on people? Do you think they might feel that that's what, you know, Israel needs in its leader? Or do you think it's just too early to say?
Well, over a million Israelis said that's what Israel needs in a leader, two times in a row, I should say. So so definitely there is a part of Israel who thinks that that's what Israel needs after the Netanyahu era. I would say that Benny Gantz is extremely inexperienced in politics, even compared to any other prime minister we ever had. I mean, to have a prime minister who didn't even serve as a minister is not something that the Israelis actually swallow so well. It could help him, definitely, you know, if he would have even one term as some kind of minister, I would think it would give him more experience and make him stronger to deal with the situation in people's minds. But I do think that it's about Benny Gantz, but it's also about not Bibi. So I don't think, I mean, I think that the huge amount of support that he has and the really outstanding results they got in both elections, it reflects more, less about Benny Gantz and more about how much there's a huge camp in Israel, which is growing, who wants to get rid of Netanyahu.
All right, understood. Tal, we will leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm sure all our listeners will be, that image will stick with them of the kind of Roger Federer hanging on in the sort of fifth set versus Benny Huta, the Mr. Tranquilo, and that being the kind of struggle over the next few weeks. So thank you for that brilliant analogy. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.